In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, hello, everybody. Ciao. I'm excited to be here today, as I always am. Today makes it different yet again. For example, Mark Lejeune's not here, our producer who does the intro that you just heard, but sometimes he does it live at the beginning and at the end, but he's not here to do that live. And Dorothy Lee Donahue, who, whether we've been together or not in the same studio, she's always either called in or been there. This is the first time she's not going to be here because she's actually flying to Germany in the meantime. So she, even though it's, I think, 5 o'clock in the morning in Germany, she said she'd try and be on the show every once in a while, but not while she's on a plane. So with that, it's just me and you, which is kind of special, actually. Me and you and the guest. Our guest is got a fascinating story. Her name is Danielle Kirk, and I can't wait to bring her on. I know you're going to love her. And she's not only got a fascinating story, but she's got a great product that has come from that story. And she has a lot of great information to share. So we'll talk about her in just a moment. You know, talking about it's just me and you, about 3 weeks ago or so, actually, I was at an event with one of our producers, Mark Lejeune, and the guest speaker was supposed to arrive at this event. There were like 300 people in the audience or something, and everybody was waiting, and the guest speaker hadn't arrived. And Mark was also helping produce that event, so he came up to me and he said, Filippo, do you want to do something? And I said, like what? And he said, life changes, whatever, do something. Can you please? And I said, sure, be happy to. I said that without even thinking as to what I would do or what I would say. And I, because it wasn't my audience, I wasn't, you know, they didn't know me. They didn't know I was going to do anything. So Mark got up and did a really great job of introducing me. And I still hadn't thought about, I actually hadn't thought about it. Like, I didn't even take those minutes to think, okay, what could I say? I don't know what was going through my mind, but it was blank. And I was listening to his introduction, and the next thing I know, I'm walking up on stage, and I, for a split second, I don't remember this ever happening before. My mouth just opened up and I just started talking. Well, unfortunately, no, I do remember that happening a lot. My mouth opens up and I just start talking. But I mean, and usually my feet end up in it, not just one, but no. But as far as being prepared to stand in front of an audience and sing, or sing, see, there it is. I've stood in front of many audiences and sung. And I've stood in front of many audiences and spoken, but I've always been prepared as to what I'm going to sing and what I'm going to say. But I wasn't. And the story that came out of my mouth surprised me. Surprised me so much that I couldn't wait myself to hear how the story was going to end. Part of the surprise was I had never shared that story in public before. Now, I'd told some friends and told some family members, but it wasn't something that was on the forefront of my mind, and it wasn't something that I planned on telling these people. And I thought, as I was telling it, really? You're really telling the story? Why? And then at the end of the story, everybody applauded. And I thought, oh, wow, this story really hit home with people, and I wonder what it is, because it's a story that's personal to me. And then I realized, thought, no, this is a story that's personal to everybody. And so I thought I'd take this time right now to share real briefly the story. And the story was this, that as a child, well, I was the butt of a lot of jokes. Is it the butt or the bud? I don't know. Either way, I was that end of the jokes. And one in particular was, what do you want to be when you grow up? So what my parents and my uncles and aunts and my parents' family or friends would do is they would ask their kids, and us what we wanted to be when we grow up. I'm sure it happens all the time to a lot of kids still today. And my parents or family members would line us kids up, and usually in the Italian household, because I grew up very Italian, it was just the guys. The girls weren't really asked that. I guess, unfortunately, because they knew what they were supposed to be or were told what they were supposed to be in that culture. So that's a whole other story that we could elaborate on now that I think of it. See, I haven't told this story. Now that I think of that, gosh, that's a hard lot to be have been a young girl in that. But there was me. And being a young boy, I was lined up along with all the other boys. And one by one, everybody was asked what they wanted to be when they grew up. And my older brother, he wanted to be a doctor. And so when he said that, everybody applauded and cheered and said, "Very good, you're going to make a great doctor because you this and you that, and that's great." And then the next one would come up, and whether it was a cousin or whomever, and, "Oh, good, you're going to be great at that, and that's good, we're proud of you," and all that. And then I do remember that one of my cousins wanted to be an athlete. And they weren't too excited about that as a rule. But they let it go for now, and they said, "Okay, well, you probably want to do something else, but, you know, that's good." So then would come me, eventually. I was the last one. And everybody would get really quiet because everybody knew what I would say. And they'd say, "Filippo, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I would answer very innocently and very emphatically, "I want to be Filippo." And they would laugh and talk to each other and say, "He did it again. He just doesn't get it. That's so funny. And oh my God, no." And then somebody would say to me, "No, Filippo, no, you already are Filippo. But when you grow up, you're going to be something. You have to be something. What do you want to be? Like, your brother wants to be a doctor and this one wants to be a lawyer. And what do you want to be when you grow up?" "I want to be Filippo." And they would laugh some more, and some would get annoyed, and he's never going to get it, and when is he going to get it? Because this would happen quite often. And then I would be asked a third time, if not even a fourth time, and my father would start getting upset. And so would I. I would start getting not angry, I would start getting emotionally upset, because they weren't getting it. And so I'd cry, and I'd say, "But I want to be Filippo." And it's interesting that that story came out while I was not being conscious and about what I was going to say, and that it came out in front of this group who with whom it obviously resonated very well. Because, like I said, they applauded afterwards, but I had actually been sitting in that audience listening to other speakers and watching them be who they are or be who they think they have to be or pretend to be something. And it dawned on me that, and for the first time I realized, that I was the only one out of all the kids that were asked, "What are they going to be when they grow up?" that became what I said I was going to be. My brother didn't become a doctor. My cousin didn't become an athlete, but I became Filippo. And it's interesting, though my birth certificate actually reads Philip, I've always identified with Filippo. I always felt it was my soul name. I always felt it was who I am. And so even at school, I insisted everybody call me Filippo. And years later, I have become the butt of another joke. But I actually don't mind this one at all, because every time I do something that's new, unique or beautiful or different or new, my family and their friends say, "Well, he's just gotta be Filippo, doesn't he?" And so it is. I am Filippo. Who are you? So with that, I want to remind you all that you are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network, and that you can hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m. at www.lifechanges.com. www.ofhollywoodmedia.us. And so we have somebody on the show now who's very special, who has been through so much. And I bet she has similar stories to what I just shared. And we might just get into that. See, from being the youngest appointed Israeli diplomat to North America, to running her own successful real estate business in South Florida, our guest tonight, Danielle Kirk, has always exemplified the qualities of a born leader. As a result of a fateful, life-changing injury in 2006, Danielle now dedicates her life to coaching those who wish to speed and ease their health crisis recovery, utilizing the same comprehensive, integrative approach she implemented in her own recovery. We're here to talk to Danielle and learn about her journey and what she's doing now. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Filippo. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I have to think, knowing a little bit about your background, that who you are now was not who your parents and family thought you were going to be.
Absolutely not.
Surprise, surprise.
We had a similar type of thing in our family. You were mentioning, you know, you grew up in an Italian family, and cousin wanted to be a doctor, and there's who, what are you going to be? And I was designated as a psychiatrist. I come from a very long line of very successful, respectable physicians in New York. And what I couldn't understand growing up is while they were touted as being the number one orthopedic surgeon or the number one oncologist or the number whatever their number one position was, everyone sat around the family holiday dinner table and complained about their back, their hypertension, their cholesterol.
Wow.
I couldn't understand. I said, you guys are doctors. You're supposed to be healthy.
Wow, that's
What's
great.
What's going on?
That's great. But were you making the connection even back then as a child that there was something askew or amiss?
Definitely. There was definitely a disconnect, and that actually propelled me into seeking alternatives for health and wellness, because I didn't want to be in my 40s or 50s and having to take a pill every day to control my cholesterol or to control my hypertension or diabetes or whatever the condition was. So I got very involved with a lot of alternative things, namely integrative nutrition and yoga were my chosen modalities that I really connected with.
So you connected with that, but yet that wasn't your lifelong pursuit. You were doing all kinds of actually amazing things that had nothing to do with this, right? You were in real estate. You were a diplomat. I mean, that's.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very conventional home, and I graduated from Emory University for my undergraduate degree. I have my master's in Middle East politics. I went to Cardozo Law School because I figured that was going to be, given my interest in politics, that I had found when I was studying abroad during my undergraduate work, I thought that was sort of the quote-unquote life calling. So the whole idea of wellness and health was on the side. I just wanted to stay healthy because I saw so many people get sick and have their life change majorly as a result of a health crisis, and I wanted to make sure that I took a preventative approach to it. So it was more so for my own information and my own wellness, if you will, because I was surrounded by people who were not well.
And then life threw you a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a quote-unquote accident. And what was that accident and what happened?
I was on a vacation in the Caribbean on Nevis. And I was riding a horse down the beach. I'm actually also an accomplished show jumper. I competed when I was young, and I'm very comfortable around horses, and I was just enjoying a recreational ride on the beach, enjoying the sun and the sea, and thanking the universe for all of the prosperity that I had come into with running my real estate practice in southern Florida. And the next minute, I was in my parents' house in New York, and I had no idea what I was doing there.
Oh, wow.
So the patched up story was that the saddle was loose. I fell off as a result of the loose saddle, and I landed on boulders towards the back of the beach. The horse returned to the barn. The horse returned to the barn with the saddle turned upside down, and there was a search and rescue party for me, and they found me, and the EMTs brought me into the hospital in Nevis and told the ER doctor, who kept in touch with me after, because the ER doctor himself was so amazed by what had happened to me and how I came out of it. He kept in regular touch, but he had told me that the EMTs were shocked to find a pulse when they found me on the boulder unconscious, because they thought for sure I had broken my neck and that I was dead. And in fact, I did break my neck, but I wasn't dead. I had fractured my C2, the same vertebrae that Christopher Reeve broke, but my fracture was 1 millimeter to the left of his. I fractured 4 ribs, and I had a brain injury.
Wow. And we're talking today. This is incredible, and that's actually the reason why we're talking today, because this is quite a story. Because the doctors, first of all, didn't think you would survive, or didn't think you were alive, then that you would survive, and then they said that, you know, if you ever recovered somewhat, it would be a 5-year process, and you walked out of rehab in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Because of my background in yoga and in integrative nutrition, I knew that an integrative approach would probably be the best bet in terms of managing my recovery. I wasn't 100% sure, but I had enough exposure. I had been a yoga teacher since part-time since 04, and an integrative nutritionist since 2000, and I had heard and witnessed so many miracle stories in those worlds that I said, you know, why don't we combine the best of both worlds and see what happens? So I refused all pharmaceuticals. I took no painkillers.
Oh, wow.
I went through the pain.
Oh, wow.
And I refused the antidepressants, which is part of the protocol. I was at the Rusk Rehabilitation Center at NYU. It's considered the number 2 hospital for brain injury in the country. And as a result of my refusal to take pharmaceuticals, namely the antidepressants, they made me sign a liability waiver and told me they would not be responsible for my recovery.
Wow. Well, you know, just hearing those words, I mean, first of all, they must have thought you were definitely, your brain was affected and you weren't making conscious choices here, really well thought out choices. Let me ask you, you know, I actually don't get colds very much anymore. So, but like every once in a while, I'll get a headache and I think I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll never be normal again. And I also don't take drugs or any kind of medication at all. So I keep asking my body, okay, what's going on, and hurry up and get over it. And sometimes it'll last a day and I think, oh my God, I'll never know a day without a headache. I can't imagine that it doesn't even compare 1/1,000,000th to what must have been going in your body, on in your body and in your mind. How do you make that kind of a decision with that much pain and uncertainty?
Faith.
Wow.
I just had to approach it and say, this from everything I know, from everything. And you need to understand, the brain injury was very tricky. I mean, for the first month after the accident, I couldn't remember what my last name was. I couldn't identify half the people in my cell phone or in my email contacts. It took my friends and my family to sort of help me patch up my life because I couldn't remember people. I couldn't remember places. It was very, very tricky situation. And
you didn't get angry with yourself or frustrated or, I mean, of course you did. You had to have.
Well, I'm a native New Yorker. So I guess, okay. I guess being a native New Yorker, you know, the natural question is, well, how long is this going to take? So I walked into rehab and I've been running my business in Southern Florida and I opened up my calendar and I said to the doctor, how long does this take? You know, how much time do I allocate for rehab? 2 weeks?
Oh, wow.
3 weeks? What are we looking at? And he told me everyone heals differently. And I said, well, I need a concrete answer here. I have a business to get back to. He said, I can't give you an answer because we don't know. Everyone is different. So with that, I knew that I had asked the doctors, I said, why do I need to take antidepressants? And they said that the biochemistry in your brain changes as a result of the trauma of the accident, and this is a preventative measure. And my thought was, with all due respect to Western medicine, which is phenomenal for acute emergency care, Western medicine does not know anything about preventative care. And I said, I'm not giving my brain chemicals when it needs to heal. I deeply believe in the power of the body to heal itself.
Wow.
On a smaller level, when you cut yourself, you know, say you're chopping up a vegetable and you slice your finger a little and you know, okay, you put a Band-Aid around it for a day or two and then the wound will heal a little bit and then you take the Band-Aid off because it's healed just a little bit, and you know that within the next few days, a scab will form. You know, you let the air hit it. The scab will form, and then eventually it will fall off, and you'll have new skin.
Right.
We trust that intelligence. You don't go running to the emergency room when you just cut your hand. You just put a Band-Aid on, and then you take it off and let it heal. Well, that's the same intelligence that can heal you from anything.
Hmm.
We have lost, as a society, we have lost our trust in that innate intelligence. And because of my exposure and my own personal passion to maintain my health through integrative nutrition and yoga, I had seen so many people in that world say, yeah, I got into a car accident, broke my spine in 4 different places, was told I'd never walk again, and two years later, after yoga, here I am. I own, you know, 2 different yoga studios in San Francisco, whatever the case may be. So I had seen these stories time and time again. I had heard them. I had met these people. So I said, I wasn't 100% sure. I didn't know for sure. I wasn't scared. I was terrified. I was a 33-year-old girl with a business in Florida, a thriving business in Florida. I had to get out. I had to heal and get out as quickly as possible and get on with life. And I said, okay, I guess this is, we'll take it day by day.
Wow. Wow. So day in and day out, I'm trying to think. I can't put myself in your shoes, thank God. You were just looking at the future. You weren't looking at the things that were wrong. I mean, the challenges that must come up day in and day out. What do you do with them? I understand you're from New York, but I mean, really?
You know, a woman, she was an MD, had traumatic brain injury from a bike accident and went to Ruskin, actually wrote a book about her experience. And in the book, and this really sort of encapsulates or exemplifies what it's like to have traumatic brain injury. She was living with a friend of hers in New York, and was going to Rusk, And her friend called her on the cell phone just to check in with her. And she said, "Where are you?" And her friend with the brain injury replied, she looked up to see where she was. She was on her way to rehab. She said, "I'm on the corner of walk and don't walk."
Mm-hmm.
That's traumatic brain injury. So it was a very confusing, it was a very confusing time. And I just said, you know, I have to take this day by day. And I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and I need to listen to my body, get back to yoga as soon as possible, and pray.
You know, Danielle, that actually seems to apply to everything in life, and those are very profound words. There are so many people that don't have that kind of injury, but have others, or have emotional injuries, or have debilitating fears. And that advice, I believe, is very powerful, because that's the only thing you really can do. And when you think you can do more is probably when you get yourself into more trouble or don't end up helping yourself at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
don't complicate things. You got to keep it simple.
Well, you have found a way to keep things simple and to help other people that are going through this, and I can't wait to dig into that in just a moment here. I want to remind everybody that we're talking to Danielle Kirk, who, amongst many things that she's done in her life, she is now, gosh, I don't know what to call her. She's found this approach that she experienced herself by going through this brain traumatic injury that she had, to come up with an 8-week in-home wellness coaching program. And to learn more about Danielle, you can go to DK8 Wellness, and that's D like dog, K like Kirk, her last name, and the number 8, and wellness, wellness.com. Of course, you can always learn more about her at lifechanges.ws. And not only her, but all of the guests that we've had and will have on this show, we have also archived all of the shows so that you can listen and learn if that's what you do, or enjoy and share with your friends. They're all at lifechanges.ws. We're also working on a network where we'll be able to connect so many of us together who are interested in this kind of information and other kinds of information about the changes going on in our bodies, in our lives, and in our world. And so as we get to know each other more, and as we get to learn more from people that are doing extraordinary things, but who started out as ordinary people, are teaching us how we can take that extraordinary thing and bring it into our lives and make it part of our ordinary life. And maybe then we'd be living extraordinary lives. I think I just confused myself. I never said that before, but I like it. There's something there that I like. Oh, this has been a day of saying things that I've never said before, and I hope it stops here. But I have a feeling it's not. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy doing this show. Of course, you're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo, where you can hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m. on the BBS Radio Network, and then again archived at www.lifechanges.ws. So now back to our guest, Danielle Kirk, who's been sharing with us about this traumatic experience that she had, and how when the doctor said that it would take her 5 years or so, she said that, whatever she said, she ended up walking out of rehab in 6 months. And I have to ask, Danielle, I stated that you have this 8-week program, but before we talk about it, the funny thing is that you got out of rehab and you went back to your regular life. You had no intention of doing this 8-week program thing. It's actually a funny story. Do you want to share that with us?
Sure.
Or it's not funny. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that.
It is funny. it is. It truly is funny. I mean, the biggest lesson, and I really believe that, you know, they say we don't learn from what makes us laugh. We learn from what makes us cry.
Mm.
And so when you're faced with whatever it is that's causing you discomfort or pain, what I learned and when I was going through rehab and because of my deep spiritual practice, I knew that there was a big lesson, and there was probably lots of lessons. And so that's the way I approached it and said, okay, I'm looking forward to learning all the lessons that you want to teach me. You have my attention. Because not only was I out of Southern Florida and in rehab in New York to get the best care possible, but I had lost my business as a result.
Oh, sure.
And I had to put my place on the market. I mean, my entire life that I worked so hard, and when I say so hard, I mean 80 to 100-hour weeks building in Southern Florida. Mm. I mean, I loved it, but I worked very hard to achieve what I did. It was gone. It was gone. But I knew that I could rebuild as long as I had my health. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Mm.
So, with that said, I came out of rehab and said, okay, I really enjoyed building my real estate practice in Southern Florida. I guess I'll do it here in New York. And I started looking for work in New York after I had gotten out of rehab. And while I was looking for work, because, again, I'm the type of my personality is I always need projects and things to do. And if I'm not fully immersed in whatever work there is, I'm doing charity work. I mean, this is when all things are equal. I'm doing charity work. I'm putting on events. I'm always involved with a lot of different things. So as I was looking to reposition myself professionally, I just started helping people. Friends of the family members with various conditions and issues, from being in a wheelchair from a stroke to being in a wheelchair from multiple sclerosis to cancer to diabetes to all sorts of things. And I said, you know, I don't know if I can help you. I can't give you a guarantee, but I would like to start working with you because I've just walked through my own health crisis. And I think I figured something out here that may help you. Julie Metzger was the first, my first project, if you will. She had a stroke 15 years prior, was severely debilitated, and we started working together. And basically, I just applied everything that I did for myself for Julie. And 8 weeks after we started working together, Julie walked across the living room without any help, by herself, perfect gait, perfect balance, stopped slurring her words, her fine motor skills came back, and we worked great together. And I was with her for 3 months, and she drove me to the airport.
Wow.
It was the first time she had driven in 15 years. So these things started happening, and I started, essentially, as I was looking for work, I started helping people, and more people started coming, and I would then find a position and start working, and for whatever the reasons, the position wouldn't work out, whether it was because there was a restructuring within the company, or the company decided to close its doors because of the economy. One thing after another started collapsing in the quote-unquote conventional world.
And you weren't used to this because everything you had done before, you had done it successfully and stayed as long as you wanted, and all of a sudden this was completely different for you.
I didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. Every single time I was in a conventional position, one thing or another happened, and the last conventional job I had, or job opportunity, brought me out to Los Angeles in October of 2008. And 2 weeks after I got here, they decided to close their operation.
Wow.
So I found myself where I've always wanted to live, because my father lived by coastally for 25 years, but didn't have work. And it came to the point where I said, I just don't know. I don't know what you want from me. God, love, the universe, Allah, Buddha, Christ, whatever, you know, you're comfortable with, that intelligence that rules the planet. I don't know what you want from me. I'm doing the best I can here. Obviously, you want something different.
Did you use any expletives, or were you calm about this?
You know, I did. It was like sort of, it came to the point where, you know, you work so hard and you push and you push and you push and nothing works.
Mm-hmm.
And all of your skills that you developed that have proven themselves to you time and time again, where you've gotten phenomenal results, are suddenly no longer working.
Yeah.
And so you have to take a step back and say, what is going on here? This does not make any sense. And I was sitting with a dear friend of mine over dinner the very night that they decided to close their operation. And we were discussing, and I said, I do not get this. And he said, well, go be a wellness coach. I said, what are you talking about, a wellness coach? He said to me, Danielle, you have a business in front of your nose. You don't even know it. You have your own story of healing. You've helped how many people? Like, write them down. And there were several people that I had helped. Mm. There had been 8 people with remarkable recoveries in the 2 years since I had left rehab. He said, you have a business. Go do it. And I said, I can't do that. I'm a Jewish princess from New York.
And honest, too.
I mean, I don't need a mansion in Beverly Hills. I just need to support myself. And I just need to support myself in a decent lifestyle. And he said, I bet if you do this, it'll probably be even bigger than you ever imagined. And that's essentially what has happened. I just sort of started doing it and professionally. And the nature of the price point was, I'm sorry?
That is so beautiful. And I have to ask you, all this because life threw you a curveball. And I wonder, we called that an accident, and I did say, I think, quote unquote, but do you believe in accidents, or do you believe that was meant to be?
No. Totally. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in serendipity. I believe things happen along your path where they're supposed to. They say that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. I got out of rehab and people said, well, you were very lucky. Wow. You recovered in 6 months from what was supposed to take you 5 years. And I said, well, you know, they say that God helps those who help themselves. I was lucky in terms of being prepared for the opportunity of applying everything that I had known from the yoga world and the integrative nutrition world to my own situation. I really, now looking back, I do believe that the accident was the destined catalyst for DKE Wellness. Because this was not anywhere on the radar.
And now you're doing this kind of woo-woo stuff. And I remember when we were talking, you wanted to make sure that I knew that this is not the world you come from. And I had to laugh, and I said, you have to tell our audience this. Because really, to me, it aligns exactly with what we're talking about here. And it gives you not credibility, but maybe credibility to some people who need that, because you come from a very conservative world, right? Yeah. How often did you sing Kumbaya growing up?
No.
Not at all.
No tree hugging, herb smoking, kumbaya, you know, let's make love, not war type. No, I come from, like I had mentioned at the beginning, a very long line of physicians in New York. They're all, like I said, like most, 90% are physicians. The other 10% are attorneys. I mean, that was really sort of the professional option.
Right.
So, you know, this whole concept was really for other people. You know, the vegetarians. those people, you know.
Those weird people, yes.
Yeah. The creative people, the people who go off and, no, but this, my world was very conventional. Like I said, I went to Emory University for my undergraduate work. I've got my master's in Middle East politics. Went to Cordova Law School. I mean, this was the path I'm supposed to be, you know, a partner in a Wall Street law firm or a psychiatrist, which is what they all thought I should be because I love people.
Oh, but you weren't supposed to be at all. And I do say weird in parentheses because, of course, I've been eating like a vegan for 18, 19 years. So I totally understand. And that's not the world I came from with eating sausage and meat and meatballs and all that good Italian food. And here I am. And everybody thought I was weird. And sometimes I did, too. But that's okay. We're doing what we need to be doing. And I don't know if that's something that I'm going to keep the rest of my life, but I do know that what you're doing is something that you're helping with, you're helping people regain their life. And with that, you've got, does DK8, is 8 the fact that it seems that a lot of people are recovering or something's happening in 8 weeks? Is that, Did I get that right?
Yep. Actually, our tagline is 8 weeks to wellness.
And, oh, really?
Because when I was creating the initial website, I was explaining the whole story of the whole development of this and how I came to this. I didn't even know what it was going to be called. But I said, you know, 8 weeks after I started working with her, boom, she's up and out of her wheelchair. 8 weeks after she finished chemo and radiation, she did the 5K race for the cure. 8 weeks after we started working together, he was off all of his insulin and dropped 50 pounds. I mean, it was like one thing after another. Mm. There was something about this 8 weeks. Now, I don't know what this 8 weeks is about. I'm the first to tell you, I'm not an MD. I'm not a PhD. I'm not some guru, you know, that just came from, you know, levitating off the Himalayas. I'm just your average New York Jewish woman who is uber excited about helping people. I've always been very passionate about helping others. The bottom line, Filippo, the bottom line of my whole existence is I have a passion for helping people not to suffer. And not suffering means not suffering, whether that means trying to stabilize the Middle East through diplomacy, because so many people are suffering in the Middle East because of what's been going on there, or whether it's helping people on an individual basis come off their medication so they can sleep well. We're not supposed to pop a pill for every function, whether it's sleeping or having your heart work or having a libido. It doesn't matter. You don't need a pill. When you're taking care of yourself, everything works.
Wow, Danielle, I wish you could show us some passion here right now. I'm just missing it completely. You know, you have, it's funny because we talked about tips before getting on the show, and they've been coming out. For those who are listening, and you might want to listen again in our archives at lifechanges.ws, because throughout the whole interview here, you've been giving so many tips of wisdom. But in case they've been shrouded or people have not caught them, what's one or two, if you could give us one or two tips, like a good place to start when you say, okay, I've got 8 weeks to wellness here. How do you start your patients, or what's one of the things that you recommend?
Sure. Actually, specifically, this is something I wanted to address with your own situation, you mentioned your headaches. Headaches are primarily caused by dehydration. In fact, many things that people suffer from are caused by dehydration, that we don't realize how dehydrated we are as a society, and that comes out as massive fatigue or headache. So the first thing with regards to headaches, just so you know, Filippo.
I appreciate that, Danielle. Thank you.
In order to be properly hydrated, you take your current weight, whatever that is, and you divide it in half, and that's the number of ounces you need per day to stay properly hydrated. So if you're 140 pounds, you need 70 ounces of water a day just to be properly hydrated. And the interesting thing is people just, they'll drink soda, they'll drink their coffee, they drink so many other things, and they don't, they're not just drinking water. And yet we would never, in a million years, think of running a car without oil. We would never ask our car to take us from point A to point B without having oil, because we all know that our cars need oil to run. Our bodies need water to run. And a lot of things that people just suffer on a daily basis, whether it be headache or energy swings or whatever the case may be, is because of hydration. I can't emphasize that enough.
The other thing to be careful about is
caffeine, which is also, caffeine is also a major problem, because you're giving yourself caffeine through soda pop or through coffee, and that caffeine actually dehydrates you. It actually sucks the water from your system. So if you have a cup of coffee, you need an extra 2 cups of water to make up for the caffeine.
Well, those are great tips, actually. And then emotionally, what would you suggest to people as they begin their path to true wellness? Thought processes kind of thing.
It's a choice. We all make choices. And unfortunately, the human psyche is more reactive than proactive. So if we are not suffering from anything, we figure everything's okay. By the time you have a headache, or by the time you have fatigue, your body's already beaten up. There are several different ways, and different things work for different people, which is why the program that we have is customized and at home. This is not going to a spa for a week or two and then coming home and try to implement what the spa told you.
Oh, I like that.
It's individualized for your lifestyle, for what you do on a daily basis, and your coach works with you to make these small, subtle, yet very effective changes so that you can be well. So it's not like, okay, just do A, B, C, and D and you'll be fine. It's a whole comprehensive program, and I can't pinpoint, okay, you can do this, this, and this. I mean, I can tell you the basics, but everybody's lifestyle and everybody's demands are very, very different.
I get it, and I'm glad that it's personalized, and I like the fact that it's in home, because you're right, people go away and do stuff and then they come home and they don't know how to integrate it, and they don't know how to apply it, and so it's not as effective as it could be. So I like that. You know, you talk about choices, and when the choice came as to from our producer Mark Greger whether to have you on the show or not, there was no question. It was hands down, of course, and yes, and that's great, and can't wait. And I don't know why it's been several months between your schedule and our schedule. We haven't been able to get together, but we finally have, and we're here, and we've talked, and we've shared so much. This has been so insightful and inspiring, not only your story, but the story of others that have either lost the weight or or started walking again or dealt with the complications of cancer in more elegant ways, as you've shared with us about some of your other patients. And for those who want to learn more how to do this, or be coached through it by Danielle or one of the other coaches, or to connect with Danielle, of course, you can go to dk8wellness.com. That's D like dog, K like Kirk, and the number 8. And Danielle, as we close here, is there anything that you'd like to share in closing?
Some more tips.
You're so giving. I almost want to say no, let people call you, because you that's who you are. You want to help people so much. Okay, one more.
One more.
Okay.
Just like you would never ask your car to go from point A to point B without the proper oil so the engine can run, you wouldn't ask your car to go from point A to point B without the proper gas. Nutrition is your gas, and what you put into your body will have a direct reflection on how you feel on a daily basis.
Wow.
It is so, so powerful, and this does not mean that everybody has to be a vegetarian, and this does not mean that you have to give up your favorite foods. There are fantastic alternatives on the market that you can replace. I am as passionate as I am about people not suffering. I'm as passionate as can be about being a hedonist. I don't believe in deprivation. I believe in the pleasure principle. There are replacements so you don't feel deprived, so you can have your cake and eat it too.
I like that. Otherwise, what's the use of having a cake?
Exactly.
So with that, I want to thank you for having been on the show with us tonight. It has been a great pleasure. I said with us. I'm all alone. It's just me, with me.
Thank you. It was wonderful, wonderful to be here. It was really fantastic. I really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. And I can't wait to meet in person real soon.
Okay, Filippo. Take care.
Thanks, Danielle. I will. And thanks for the tips. Well, that's Danielle Kirk. And to learn more about her, you can go to www.dk8wellness.com. And that's the number 8. And, of course, you can learn more about her by going to lifechanges.ws and learn about all of our other guests as well. It's interesting, Danielle mentioned having your cake and eat it, too. And I'm happy to receive so many emails from so many people, especially these days as the show is really getting going and people are sharing their experiences with it and also wanting me to be aware of other life-changing things out there, that they want us to talk about on the show. And that's exciting to me. And I can't wait till the show is 5 days a week, so that we can share more information like this with all of you. And so speaking of the cake, I got an email from someone that they wanted me to be aware of this event, or I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was called Cupcakes for Cancer. And I thought, cupcakes for cancer? Usually cupcakes are given at like a celebration or at a time, or like if you do something good, your mom bakes you a cupcake or something like that, or a holiday. Why are we celebrating cancer? And if it's true that what we put energy on expands, if we put energy and cupcakes on cancer, are we helping the energy of cancer expand? And so I started to think, it's like, well, wait a minute, I don't blame these people for, it's a great little concept in a sense, but it doesn't make sense anymore when you start really thinking about it. How about cupcakes for recovery, or cupcakes for life, or cupcakes for living or health? Because it's kind of like, you know, you notice how we are fighting against war and there's more war in the world and we fight against AIDS and more people die of AIDS than is necessary. And we fight against drugs And then, you know, there were more people on drugs when we started the war against drugs. I mean, after we started the war, quote unquote, than before, because we're bringing awareness to it and not in a good way. And we're putting energy on this thing and it's expanding. And what we really want and need is for it to, well, we want it to contract, but we can't make it contract by fighting it. We can put our energy on what is good in the world and what health is, like we talked about with Danielle today. So instead of Cupcakes for Cancer, and I'm not picking on them. I don't even know if that's an organization or if that's the title of an event. I hope it's not an organization. I don't want to put anybody down. I know that they're trying to do good work and their intent is good. But I think as we start to recognize what really works and what makes sense, that maybe that doesn't make sense anymore. Let's stop fighting against something and let's start, I almost want to say fighting for something, but I just don't care for the word fighting. So let's just promote something. Let's all promote something. And with that, I want to thank you all for listening to me and our show today. It's still our show, even though nobody's here. But I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I look forward to our next week guest, who is a really great guest, actually. And I can't think of the name. Hold on. He's really cool. Let me bring it up because I have to say this. Where did it go? Our guest next week. Does it sound like I'm stalling? It's all in your imagination. Our guest next week is F. Holmes Skip Atwater. Now, he is the president of the Monroe Institute, which is a well-renowned nonprofit organization conducting research and offering educational programs supporting the evolution of consciousness. Now, that's exciting to me. So with that, I want to remind you all that you are listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo, and that our show is sponsored by IonWays and Love and Miracles. So to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo tonight. So with that, I want to say, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark M. Legere and Mark Greger, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, a big thank you to all of you for joining us and being part of this work, part of the show, and part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.